What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Now I want to talk to us about the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit. You know, Christianity is real. If you've been around for a while, of course, if you're a CFC member, you've been around. The last few weeks I've been teaching on the manifestation of the God kind. Can I ask you a question? What do you think is the best God ever made? It's not the mountains of Himalaya, never. There are things that are called the seven wonders. I don't know if there are 11 now. They keep increasing because you look at nature, it can be breathtaking, right? So, wow, this is awesome. When first time I went to Zambia, I was opportune to go to Livingstone and to see the Victorian Fall. I wonder why it's named after Victoria. And the man that dared to find out, to discover the Victorian Fall, because prior to the David Livingstone coming there, Dr. Livingstone coming there, they had believed that that place was a place for the gods. And he was devouring the inhabitants of the place. So nobody ever went there. But he went around River Zambezi, and then he came to see this beautiful fall. And they have this epitaph of where David Livingstone's image is carved, just close to the fall there. And he wrote something that I had to snap and keep. He said that when he saw it, he shouted, and he said, "Wow, what a breathtaking display of the handwork of God." He said he had never seen anything like that. And it's truly breathtaking. I was opportune to go around. I was opportune to take pictures. You know, when you come there, the weather is different. It's like it's raining all year. The place is just beautiful. It's always green. Then you see the waters falling. Then you see the rainbow. There's a constant rainbow there. There's a bridge called the Rainbow Bridge. So you walk on it, you feel like you are touching rainbow. Beautiful. But one day as I was thinking about it, God told me that that's not the most beautiful thing he made. And that's not the most important thing in his heart. And that's not the best of creation. What is the best of creation? It's not even Adam. The best of creation is not Adam. The best of creation is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? The Bible says he's what? He's a new creation. A new creation. He says, "All things have passed away. Now open your eyes and see. All things have become new." You know why you didn't shout at that scripture? No, don't shout. You know why I didn't shout at that scripture? It's because you have not been able to behold fully what a new creation in Christ means. The original Greek says it's a brand new species of being that has never existed before. That means when Christ came and paid the price, and a man received that sacrifice and believed with his heart and opened his mouth and said, "Jesus is Lord." Are you getting me? Even angels stood in awe and said, "We've never seen this type before." The Bible says, "Behold." And that's what we've been looking at. Somebody said, after we get born again, what are we doing here on earth? It's because there's more to you. Are you listening to me? There's more to you. This eternal life you have received, there is more to you that this world needs to see, that creation needs to see, so that your walk here on earth, are you with me? Is that your eyes will continually be open to see what has happened to you. Sad but true. I'm laying a foundation. Sad but true, most Christians live their whole lives, walk through life, never knowing what it means to truly be saved. Because all they receive is a religion. They never have an experience of what it means to be a child of God. It's even so sad, hallelujah, that the greatest desire of certain people is heaven. You know what Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 2? He says, sometimes I feel like going. Other times I feel like what? Staying. He said, I want to see what it's like to look into the master's face. He said, but other times I just feel like I should stay here. He said, but if I stay here, it will be of greater benefit to you. So, you know, King James uses the word betwixt. He said, I'm in between. I'm betwixt. Whether to go, whether to stay, but for your sake, I will stay. That means for him, what people dread as death and what the religious man looks forward to as heaven is a choice. He was enjoying his Christian walk. He was not traumatized. No kumbaya. No maranatha. No come Lord Jesus come. Because he came to a place where he was very certain, he's alive in me. He's alive in me. He's tabernacled in me. I'm not talking of fables. Is somebody following? He came to a place where he said, look, I'm not talking fables. I'm not talking of things that are intellectual. I'm talking of reality. That is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 meant when he says, behold. That word behold there means to see. For your eyes to be open, to fully comprehend. Oh, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said that I may know him. That I may know him. If there's one thing I pursue in my life, is to do what? Is to know him, is to understand what it means to be a carrier of the life of God. Is somebody here? That I may know what it means to have Christ tabernacled in a man. Hallelujah. That he will know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Christian life is not a hard race. I always think about what Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 10. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you have a Bible like mine, it's written in red. The very words of Jesus. He said, I came that you may have life. He was talking to people who were breathing. He was talking to people who had an existence. And he was still telling them, I came that you may have life. So he was talking of something different. More than just existing. More than just breathing. I came that you might have something better than what you have. He said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He chose his words. The word abundant means what? Super abundant in quantity, superior in quality. Or we can put it this way, he was saying, I brought something better. And at the new birth, are you with me? At the new birth, eternal life is not an addition to natural life. At the new birth, when a man gets born again, eternal life is a total replacement. Amen. It's a total replacement. When you begin to meditate on these truths, you will be shifting gears. Are you listening to me? You'll be shifting gears. Your mindset will be shifting. Things will begin to happen to you. Because we've been redeemed out of, into. No neutral grounds here. We've come out of something. But the same way we came out of something is the same way we have come into something. I am in it. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. See, set your heart in the next 9 sessions. When you leave here, you'll be walking on air. Amen. But we all, not some, not those called into the fivefold ministry, we all, whether you are a businessman, whether you're a professional, can I go further? Whether you do nothing, we all, every single person, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, transfigured. That word transform is not a word that is everywhere in the New Testament. It appears only 3 times. We are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It's a glorious life. It's a life that is upward and forward. It is not proper to meet a believer. It is out of place in the mind of heaven for people to meet you at the same place you were. If you understand these things we are saying, people will not gather around and say, what is happening to Jones? Why is he Jonesing? No. Everything, what's happening to Jones? Why is Jones Jonesing? Give me the NIV. That word behold is what gripped my heart recently. The NIV says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Reflections. Tell anybody reflection. The word reflect there is contemplate. To ponder, to think. Just like saying, Wumi, what we discussed the other day, did you reflect on the things we said? Are you following? Did you reflect? Did you think about it? Did you go to calm down to look at it? The greater part of our reflection is not in church. When you're on the job, what are you reflecting on? See, when you are walking on the road, what are the things that dominate your what? Your thoughts. If it's money, something is wrong. If it's worries, something is wrong. You don't transform, you are not changed by dwelling on problems. There's no transformation. The Bible says we reflect. And it tells us exactly what we reflect, the Lord's glory. There's something we are thinking about. The sum total of your Christian walk, are you getting me? Is what you are constantly dwelling on, not what is happening around you, not what anybody said, not what anybody is thinking about you. See, some believers are so preoccupied by what happened to them when they were young. You know, I had such a troubled childhood. We even gather and share their childhood experiences. That man is gone. You see, that the thing is that you are not realizing. You are thinking that now that you are born again, God has said, in addition to your father's life and your mother's life, let me add my own. That would be a beast. After man fell, God said, let him go out. Because if he puts his hand to the tree of life and eat, are you getting me? We'll have both life fused in one. That will be the peak of confusion. The peak of calamity. There is a plan. So some of you, sometimes you just still think, this is Igala boy. And they are marginalizing Igala people in this country. So how are we going to get this issue? Some of you have gone past your tribe. It's this country. This Nigerian situation. This Nigerian situation. You know, how come nothing works in this country? That is your contemplation. Those are the things you are constantly reflecting on. How this place I found myself. This place I found myself. Why? You are believing God for a job. The job has come. Now that job is your thought. When will they promote myself? Promotion is not coming again. This church, I've done everything, it will not grow. What kind of church is this? What kind of hard ground is this? Brother, we will not faint. And you are dying, no? You are talking of fainting. This recession is taking its toll. I don't know how I married this man. I can tell exactly how you married him. It's by saying yes, then we join you. That is exactly how you married him. I don't know how I married this man. I don't know how I married this man. I made a mistake. Is that what you are reflecting on? Or are you even reflecting on what they told you when they told you no? He says, we all. There's no exclusive right to reflection. The glory is there. It's not a promise. When you sit in that car and you are going to your office in the morning, what are you reflecting on? When it looks like a car hasn't come and you are walking on the road, what are your reflections? The Bible says, as you ponder, you are being what? That word being is, it's a process. You are being transformed. The word transformed there is metamorphosis. It means a change in form by consequence of an eternal unseen life. Such that you cannot return to where you used to be before. you can't return to where you used to be before. That means something changes in your surrounding. Something changes in the body, in your form. Trans means from one place to another. That means you move from one place to another. Yet you are carrying the same life. It's not a change in life. It's the life causing the change on the outside. And the best word for it is the word, is the process of the egg becoming the butterfly. Do you agree with me that the same life in the butterfly is the same life in the egg? But the egg changes from egg to what? To larva. Then from larva to pupa. Then from pupa to... Then from caterpillar to the butterfly. But this is what I want you to get. The same life in the butterfly is the same life in the caterpillar, is the same life in the pupa, is the same life. Are you getting me? In the larva, is the same life in the egg. But that life is causing something to happen. Kai, 1 John 3 says, now are we the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has what? Lavished upon us that we be called the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. It might not yet appear. Whatever is not consistent with the life in you must change. As you reflect, our reflections are important. Our contemplations are important. Our meditations are important. The things that we predominantly give our thoughts to. Have you ever sat down to think what it means that Christ in me? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Have you ever sat down to think about it? When I read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I discovered that they did not have Bibles. at most parchment. Do you know how it was in those days? If I write a letter to you in Makurdi Church, Paul will say, when you are done reading it, send the letter to Boko Church. Let them, that it may be read also. So you can imagine how precious those parchments were. And some couldn't read. So at most, it was the things that were taught them. That means they were not just hearing words and going back. When they hear words, they will allow it to frame their thoughts. See, what happens in conventions like this and meetings like this is that seeds are dropped in your heart. Words are planted in your spirit. And those are not ordinary words. These are words impregnated with the very life of God. Church is not a religious exercise. Church is not show. As we gather, things happen. Your sister was sharing a testimony with me yesterday. Yeah, that was yesterday in the house. They were in church, and God said, 72 hours. There are going to be 72 hour miracles. Things just happening. In fact, she said in church, she didn't even know exactly what she said, but I just want a miracle. So she held on to it. Not knowing that there was a major issue in her life, the child's school fee. They had given the school a post-dated check. The date had passed. And they just kept saying, just hold, brief, we're expecting money. So that day they said, look, this thing has stayed for too long. Let's just go to the school and see them and explain. So they came to school with just four long faces. Sorry about this position. They said, no, sorry, we didn't get back to you. He said, no, we cashed the check yesterday. We should have sent you, generated the receipt and sent you. Sorry, we didn't send the receipt to you. But we would have sent you the receipt. So they were looking surprised. He said, it's like you don't know how much. The thing cleared one time. Thank you. So she and her husband headed for the bank to clear the rest. Listen. Today they don't know how I came there. If we don't finish today, I'll continue the teaching tomorrow. If I don't continue tomorrow, we'll continue on Sunday. But you must understand that the word of God is not different from things. It is the source material for everything you see. Words are powerful. So what are we saying? How do we live this Christian life? Do you understand now? How do we live this Christian life? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. A few weeks ago, this word just kept popping up in my spirit. I'll open my Bible, I'll look at it. I'll open it, I'll look at it. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Tell anyone, no condemnation. To those who are in Christ Jesus. Where are you? I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. No. Do you believe what you just said? How many of you can see yourself in Christ? The Bible says that man who is in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation anywhere. You know, one of the definitions of righteousness that we've always held in our circle is that righteousness is our ability to stand before God without any sense of inferiority or guilt or condemnation. I prefer to say righteousness is your ability to stand before God. With or without any sense of whatever. Even if the sense of it comes, are you getting me? It doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change. It doesn't, Doesn't change anything. God doesn't condemn me. You know, a lot of times when you talk like this, some people become scared. They say, be careful, so that people don't have a seared conscience. It's still back to what we're saying. It's meditation. I was discussing with Pastor Dio yesterday, and we were just talking in the midst of preparing for this whole meeting. And he made a statement that just got me excited. You want to hear it? Okay. Do you know why Christians struggle with sin? Because somebody has always told them that it is normal to sin. That once in a while you fall into sin. And that you are... How can a fish be... You never go to those churches. You know, where it's good. How can a fish be inside the water and it will be denying that its body is not touching water? Those are fables. First John 3 says, if anyone is born of God, the seed of God abides in him. He said, that man cannot sin. You have not thought of it.
Cannot.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, if Jesus did not resurrect from the what? We are still lost in our sins. That means the power to live victoriously over sin is in the revelation of the risen Christ. And that you are risen with him. You see, a lot of that, so that you notice that when we preach, a lot of us dwell on the fact that Jesus died for us, which is good, and our sins have been forgiven. But you must also dwell on the fact that you did what? That you rose with him again in the newness of life. You must also take time to ponder on that. Even though you will think that your sins are forgiven, but you will not know there's an empowerment for it. So every time you say, I know my sins are forgiven. That's true. I know my sins are forgiven. I know my sins are forgiven. I know my sins are forgiven. But not just were your sins forgiven. You were also raised with him. So you set your mind there. I'm risen with him. If you have a white piece of cloth, if you were here earlier, this place was not half this interesting. Some people had partied into the late hours of the night. No Christian party. So they were really rushing. And they had to take out some of the seats. You know, if you are wearing white and you saw some of those seats, there is a consciousness with which you sit on it. There's a consciousness with which you sit with when you are wearing white that is different from when you are wearing black. So that's why some of you like black. Amen. Some of you just like black. You know, when it's black, you say, oh, okay. All right. If you are wearing white, like Pastor Tom is looking immaculate. If you come to a place and they say, you just want to check your environment. It's not something you learn. It's something you are conscious of. I am risen with Christ in the newness of life. I'm not trying to live holy. I'm living because I'm holy. Do you get it? So there's no condemnation. Verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I'm free. So this is the question that the Holy Ghost asked me. Sarame, do you know the law of the Spirit? The law of the Spirit of life. Life has a law. Do you know the law of the Spirit of life? It is that it has made you free. It is by that law that we live. The law of the Spirit of life, the operation of life. How do they operate life? The life of the Spirit. Are there laws that govern it? You see, is the translator that added that first part of verse 1 that says, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation in any way. So in the original rendering, it just says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in who? Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. Please, don't get this wrong. It is not the law of sin and death. There is no law like the law of sin and death. If you read your Bible, you will not see the law of sin and death. It is the law of sin, and then there is death. It has made me free from... Okay, let's reverse it. It has made me free from death and the law of sin. So if you read chapter 7, you understand what Paul was saying. There have always been arguments as to who was writing chapter 7, whether it's the Paul that is in Christ Jesus or it's the Paul that is outside Christ Jesus. Read it. There's no argument there. Paul was talking about a man who was not saved but had a religion. If you have a religion, it will be a struggle to please God. Do you understand me? He said, I'm struggling to please God. The things that I want to do, I cannot do. The things I don't want to do, I do. So I find out that there is another law working in my members. Working on manner of concupiscence. For King James lover. I say, you know, that's the struggle of most people when it comes, most religious people. They put up a facade. May you not be religious. Amen. I'm trying. Now this is key. You must understand this is key to succeeding in everything you do. They are trying. They are trying not to sin. They are trying. Oh. So they begin to troubleshoot. Anytime they are in faith for a thing, they say, Lord, I've tried. So they have a checklist. I stopped smoking 2 years ago. And I've even tried with, I've started fasting. The other time I heard, I've started. Even the tithe, that was difficult. Last year, I gave it twice. So I'm making progress. Now sometimes I want to give the tithe, but then the freezer doesn't allow me. Understand? I mean, just it's obstructing me. If I go on Facebook and I see him, I can't. But I've tried. It's an internal struggle. They say, I'm not going to do anything again. Lord, help me. When I started 2019, this was my New Year resolution. And I kept it in May. See? Do you know how religion works? Who sinned that this man was born blind? That means if they can't pin it to you, they will trace it to the next generation. They say somebody was born blind. You are still asking who sinned. That definitely not him. So the question is, since it's not him, who? There is always somebody that is responsible. It's a law. You know why they thought that way? Because that's how it worked. The word law actually means a principle that always delivers on certain results by prescribed usage. That's the Greek. That means if it's a principle that there's a way if you follow it, that if it's done, you can always predict the result. That's why there's a law of gravity. Abi? That's why if you climb this roof and you jump, you're not going to say, I might fall, I might not. No, you will fall. Except there is a higher principle that when prescribed with another usage will alter that result. You follow now? So the Bible says the law of sin eventually results in death. And death is more than a state. It's more than an incident. Death is what? It's a state that sets in. It's separation. Death is separation. We don't study death. We study life. Because death is the natural result of the absence of life. We don't study darkness. How many of you did some physics? No, like I did it too far. I stopped that thing a while ago. But in school, we never studied darkness. But we're always studying light. We didn't study cold. We're studying heat. It's the absence of this thing that is the result of this. Even in church, we don't analyze death. We don't study death. We don't troubleshoot death. It is the absence of life that results in what? In death. So Paul says, I'm a struggling man, but who will redeem me from this? He said, but thanks be to God. There's redemption in God. That means when I met Christ, all these struggles ended. Religion ended. I laid hold on something different. There is now, therefore, do you get it now? No condemnation. So I'm not going to focus on the law of sin. But the chief element of the law of sin is condemnation. Is guilt. Is struggling to please God. Living your life not sure whether God loves you or not. Maybe today he loves me. Tomorrow I can't say. No. I'm not going to focus on that. But there's a law of life in Christ Jesus. That with correct usage, there are laws of this life that if I prescribe it well, the results are always predictable. Do you understand it now? So there is a way that John and the way that Kola, amen, can live their lives, operate the laws of the Spirit. It will not be a guesswork. The results can be sure to every single person. Did you get that? Praise the Lord. So I've been delivered from death. No, I didn't hear you. So I've been delivered from death. Now go to verse 4 of Romans chapter 8. So what is this law? He says that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Next verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, amen. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Is that self-explanatory? That means this law of the Spirit walks with a walk. That's how you walk. Verse 4, there is a walk. There's a walk. Look at that last part. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the what? According to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The word walk there is to make progress, to conduct yourself, to make progress, to make use of opportunities. So there's a way we make progress. Now, a lot of Christians struggle because you are born again trying to make progress. Like someone who is not born again. I was listening to a man of God yesterday, and the man of God said, you know, I think I was with Pastor Steve. Or 2 days ago, we're just playing the message. A message just popped up, so I opened it. It was a man of God. Somebody shared it and tagged me. Watch what you tagged me with. Yeah. I said, well, the problem is that we are praying. When you go to this place, they are praying. They are not praying. Here, we are praying. And that prayer is not in the success equation. That thinking is in the success equation. I said, wow. You see, don't overstretch a truth. Don't overstretch a truth over the expense. Don't try to carve a revelation at the expense of truth. You must not sound intelligent for it to be a rhema. And listen, when he said it, everybody in that place erupted with a shout. And I said, no, something is not right. What happened to a great why before day? He arose. If it was not in the success equation, what happened to Master teach us how to pray in the life of Jesus? How come that was the only thing his disciples saw that they said, teach us how to do? Someone said, but the people were shouting. That's to tell you how carnally minded they are, because there is emotional preaching. It can make people high. It's like sugar. But you need to get down to the basics. See, I'm not fulfilled when you jump around and go home and come back the same. I am fulfilled as a pastor when you go home and know exactly what to go and do. There is a walk. I've not preached my message yet. I'm guiding your thoughts into something. If a fish tries to fly, what's going to happen to that fish? Gets out of the water and says, I just discovered that water is not in the success equation for living. Are you with me? Water is not in the success equation. Or the bird looks at the fish and says, just look at how the fish is gliding. It's not in the success equation. You know why? Some of you are laughing. You say it's not possible for the fish to think like that. You know why the fish doesn't think like that? Because the fish knows that it is not the same thing as a bird. You know why you're thinking prayer is not in the success equation? Or somebody you get up and say prayer is not in the success equation? It's because he doesn't know that he's a new creation. He's not beholding that old things have passed away. So you begin to talk about Buddhist nations that have, there is a way to make progress. Mm-hmm. There is a way to make progress. And if you leave your path, you will struggle. Tell anybody, it's a walk. There is a way to walk. I was teaching you last Sunday in church. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. That means there is a way that the righteousness of faith speaks. It's not comedy for living. 2 Corinthians 5. I read two scriptures and then I stop. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Give me the old King James. You know, when some people look at the lives of certain ministers, like, wow. Or look at some believers, say, God tried for them. God. I was talking to one pastor once. He said, Kai, we're talking about one other pastor. He said, Pastor Robert, have you seen that pastor recently? I said, no, it's been a while. He said, you people, God have tried for you people. When I look at people, I say, Kai, God has really tried for you people. God has tried for us. And he's an older man of God, so I smiled. The Bible says, don't rebuke an elder in public. I said, sir, God has tried for all of you, for all of us. He said, but I know what I'm saying. You people have been helped. But if he understands the law of the Spirit, of life, how to live this is life. Are you getting me? It delivers everywhere. Delivers everywhere. It delivers to everyone and everywhere. It delivers in Boko. It delivers in Obomosho. It delivers in Kenya. It delivers in Abuja. I might not necessarily change with location. If I park from here, I know that. So try it. Don't get me wrong. God can direct you to move. Are you following? God can direct you to move, but God directed you. I was telling them yesterday while we're praying. Christianity is not just copying. The life of the Spirit is not just copy and paste, but there are principles. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Tell anybody, how are you walking? For many years, I read Romans chapter 8, and guess what my struggle was? I felt that the book of Romans 8 was just talking about, you know, be careful how you walk, how unbelievers are looking at you. Are you getting me? You know, constantly walking, you know, trying to. And as a younger Christian, I was wondering, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Paul said to walk in the Spirit. Sometimes I want to be in the Spirit. Other times I'm not sure whether I'm in the Spirit. Does that mean I should have a deeper tone? Does it mean I should walk humble? I remember then during worship, somebody would say, now let's enter the, let's he said, we just finished praise. Now it's time for worship. Let's enter the spirit. Yeah, everybody will have this sober look. That's drama. That's not walking in the spirit. That's not the walk in the spirit. Turn and shake your. Bless you. Bless you. My English almost spoiled when I got saved. Are you getting it? God, we're trained to talk in a particular way. We'll be talking and laughing. And then when we come to church, hello, we'll get into the spirit. We don't want to. That's why we think we're living two lives. You laugh, then when you come to church. So why is everybody acting like this? No, they're in the spirit. The Lord is in his temple. Let the whole world keep silent. Let me just drop it. Stop it there. The walk of the spirit is the walk of faith. See, there are no neutral grounds. If you are not walking by faith, you are walking by what? By sight. You are living by flesh. You are living by sensory perceptions. And we're training you here to understand the tangibility, that there's a spiritual world you can't see that is very, very what? Real. That's your realm. And listen, the day that realm becomes more real to you than where you are now, your experiences will change. Did you get me? When it comes to finances, sometimes if you hear some believers call other believers for money, you know, it's like, guy, Pastor Steve has been marvelously helped. Konemoyo has really been helped. We have been helped. These people that have been helped, let them help. God help them so that they can help us. They are no less privileged Christians. So, you didn't hear me. They are no less privileged Christians. Ye are complete in who? In Christ. All things are yours. Whether things in heaven, things beneath. He says even death. All things. Death, life. Cephas, Paul. Prophet this, prophet that. Graces. The Bible says all things are yours. So you are not disadvantaged in any way. No, I didn't hear. I said you are not disadvantaged in any way. You are not at a loss in any way. There are no spiritual birth defects. Maybe where you were born physically is a limitation, but where you have been born into in the realm of the spirit, are you getting me? There are no limitations. You have all of God. The Holy Ghost is at your disposal. You are filled with God. We walk by faith. And all our lives are going to be studying faith. We are going to be, you know, some people just say, you know, I'm walking by faith now. One day. I even hear some people say, when are we going to stop this living by faith? When it becomes a life, you will lose taste for walking by your senses. So when they say, blessed be God, our Father, who has done what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You will say, wow! Like somebody once said, he said, I know that I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing, but I want the physical one. I said, that is a struggle. Glory to God. And you'll be leaving this place charged. Amen. By Monday morning, amen. Some of you will get up like this and say, where are those things? You say, wait. You say, have you ever seen a drunk man? Ever seen a drunk man? I've not been drunk, amen. Except with the Holy Ghost. But I've met drunk people. I remember one guy, they told me he was drunk. He was drinking. They told him, they said, your father, they were looking for him. When they found him, they said, your father has passed on. He said, why now? Why? Of all days, why would he just decide to die today? I'm like, give me another bottle there. Why? See this serious thing they are telling you. But you know, the man is under an influence. Kai. Listen to me. You will be drunk with God's word. When they say the bills have not been paid, say then what? Are you getting me? When you say they look, this is what they are saying. You will see things in the media. It will mean nothing because you are not walking by those things. Because you're in the eyes of your spirit, you begin to see differently. You begin to hear differently. You begin to talk differently. Your experiences have changed. Hallelujah. I say your experiences have changed. I say your experiences have changed. In the name of Jesus. Somebody stand up. Hallelujah. We walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit. We walk by faith. Our minds are set in a particular direction. Glory to God. You will leave this conference with a different mindset. Not just a different mindset. You know, I'm not talking, when I talk about mindset, closing now. When I talk about mind, I'm not talking about jumping in and out of thoughts. No. I'm talking about your consciousness being replaced. Your default setting will be the word. So that when you find yourself in a situation, hello, you are not going to be thinking of what to do. Your actions will be preset by the things that you have heard. Hallelujah. It's a shift. It's a mind shift. It's your default setting. When they say, can all the poor masses come this way? You will be wondering why your leg cannot move and the alignment of your shoe is bad. But you know, your leg cannot move. When they are talking about common men, you'll be looking around. Who are they? Who are they talking about? Lift those hands up to heaven and give him praise this morning. Oh, sicknesses are dropping off you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are walking out of cancer. You are walking out of, you know, HIV. You are walking out all those things they call diseases. You just realize that is not me anymore. Amen. You are walking with a new light. Lift those hands up to heaven. Give God praise. Makalabrata sotalama. Rabakata sandalabakata sofredo sofrege laba handalabo. Mandalababa. Go ahead and celebrate God's word. Mandalebrata sandalebo. Rapata sandalebo sabanda. Ingrata sandalebo. Lengle pata. Rabaka. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Go ahead and begin to rejoice, give him praise. Mandalabo sandala. We are not bound by this world's economy. We are not bound by the things that limit men. Hallelujah. There's a law of the spirit of life that has set us free from struggle. Your days of struggling, they are over forever. Those days of trying to pay one bill, trying to pay this bill, trying to pay that bill, trying to make this end meet, trying to get that thing done. Hallelujah. Rejoice. I'm telling the truth. Those days are over. Now this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith, our walk of faith, the things that we see, the things we see with the eyes of the Spirit has changed the things that are present. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.